Boats can be cast loosed from their moorings and they can drift away. Sheep who get preoccupied with grazing can move from one patch of grass to another until they look up and they find that they are nowhere near where they began. The same is sometimes true for people. They may drift away of their own accord or be forced off course by the calamity of the day, whatever their situation might be. Calamity. Imagine being one of the Israelites of the Babylonian exile. You see that your home has been overrun. You watch your place of worship collapse in flames. Invaders chase you from your own country and into a foreign land where you have to learn a new language and acclimate to different foods. And people stare at you and whisper behind their hands at you as you walk by them. When you think about your history and what your people have been through, you wonder if God even cares about you, because how could He allow all this to happen? How could He allow me to be in this place? You see, if you had have lived in Ezekiel's time, you would have wondered what would become of your people. As an exile, a stranger in a strange land, you would live day to day, finding food, working, telling your children the stories of your ancestors. But your mind would be focused on the home that you left behind. Like our modern day refugees that we see on TV and we hear about and we watch, even as some make it our way from Rwanda, Palestine, Afghanistan. Like sheep who have been scattered far and wide, you have felt lost. Leaderless people without a king, you might have wondered who would save your people. Modern U.S. Christians tend to think of lostness as a spiritual issue. The lost sheep is the sinner whom Jesus seeks to bring back into the fold of a loving and forgiving community. For Ezekiel, the lost sheep are the scattered and the oppressed people of Israel, those dispersed people called the diaspora. You see, Ezekiel remembers that they were scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. Plenty of people in our world have been scattered. They have been torn from their families by war or by addiction or by violence. Something in their life has made them be ripped apart. Some have had to leave their homes in order to find work. Others, like sheep, have just simply drifted or wandered away, moving from one experience to another, becoming socially isolated. You see, it's easy to become disconnected and drift apart. Sociologist Robert Putnam says that our society, as one in which people have become disconnected from friends, from families, and from social structures that help give our lives meaning. In his popular book he wrote many years ago called Bowling Alone, tells of people cut off from one another. People hunger for social connection but don't know how to find it. They try to make up for the emptiness by buying things or entertaining themselves, but such pursuits lead to pervasive boredom and a sense of meaninglessness. In this world that we live in, we have people who put their time and energy in so many other things besides trying to be a neighbor and trying to be a friend or trying to find someone that they can do something for. You see, imagine it says looking down through rooftops at people cloistered in cells, staring at thousands of flickering screens and vicariously living through the communities of television or the internet, not knowing their own neighbors. Well, you know what? We don't have to imagine that, do we? Look at our world today. If people were to be able to look into your rooftops and look into your homes, what are they going to see? Are they going to see people sitting around watching the idiot box, is what my granddaddy called it? And that's not a box anymore, it's a flat little thing. But anyway, or you're going to see them in front of a computer, and lots of times they don't have to go to their desk, they've got a laptop and they take it around with them anywhere. Or they've got a phone, and some people like Donna's got two or three of them. And she's always got one going one way or the other. So there's always something. That's what people are seeing today. And that's where we're living. And also people living their lives through the people on the TV, the shows, and that's who they know. That's how they live their life. And they don't know their neighbors. You see, we understand what it means to be dispersed and scattered, like sheep who have gone astray because we've done it to ourselves. But you see, God has a different vision for us. And in verse 11 of chapter 34, He says, I myself will search for my sheep. Ezekiel goes on to describe how God will round up the scattered flock and bring them to good grazing land. It might seem unlikely or impossible to gather up all the disconnected lives. We don't know what to do about our isolation. But God makes it clear that God will accomplish it. I will seek, He says. I will rescue. I will bring them. I will feed them. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. He tells us that I will, God says. God will take care of those that are scattered by war, by circumstance, by oppression, by their own mistakes, and make them one flock. He says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. You see, God's plans to make a new community from these scattered ones. That's His job. That's His plan, is to make a community of all those people that are scattered souls living out there. God will gather the dispersed people and create a new flock. You see, it isn't always sweet songs and holding hands. God has some harsh words for those sheep that are responsible for the scattering. Some of these sheep have had a hand not only in scattering others, but also in fouling up the environment and spoiling otherwise good pasture. What does He say about those who have nudged and rooted and shouldered people out? If you've ever watched animals eat at a trough or anything like that, you can see them come, especially a bunch of hogs. They come up, and who are they interested in? Themselves. Are they worried about anybody else? No, they'll step on their babies. And, I mean, that's just how they do. They nudge out because they're wanting the best. But sometimes we in society do the same thing to people. Because they don't look like us, they don't act like us, they don't dress like us, we nudge them out of the way. We might say something and somebody hears it, it hurts their feelings, and we have pushed somebody aside. It might be the way they're dressed and we say something that we shouldn't say. It might be what they're driving. It might be their status in the world. It might be if they have a job or they don't. It might be something that we've hurt somebody. And sometimes we do it without thinking. Sometimes we do it on purpose. Sometimes we don't even think about the environment or what we're doing. But He says here, otherwise spoiling good pasture land. You see, it may be one of the most pointed scriptures in the Bible on environmentalism. It is not enough for you to feed on good pasture, He says, but must you tread down with your feet the rest of the pasture? What are we leaving behind? It says, and when you drink clear water, must you foul up the rest of it with your stinky feet? Must you trod through it? God goes on to talk about judging between fat sheep and lean sheep. Once again, God takes the side of the oppressed and the lost. God saves and God judges. But there's an important feature of Ezekiel's message that we often overlook. And that is the one that God repeatedly says, I will. And He emphasizes that this is God's action by saying, I myself. It is me that God says. The sheep do not judge or save or create a new community. No, God does. Jesus recognized this when He appropriated the story that He found in the Old Testament, but when He made the story about His own parable of the sheep and the goats that we find in Matthew's Gospel, the 25th chapter. You see, neither sheep nor goats recognize Jesus. They simply do what they do. And they are surprised when Jesus reveals that He identifies with the poor and the oppressed. Likewise, it is God who judges between fat and thin sheep. Not us. It's not our job. He did not call us to be rude and ugly and impolite. He did not call us to be bean counters, you know? He did not call us to do that. He said, that is my job. So in other words, stay out of it. It's none of your business. Have you ever been told that? If you haven't, somebody might need to tell you that. I just did. The Lord says it's none of your business. Stay out of it. That's my job. Because I judge, he says, between those sheep. You see, scattering seems to be a fact of life. We become scattered either by drifting apart or through some calamity. Yet our God has determined to be a shepherd to this scattered and scatterbrained flock that we find ourselves in. God has in mind a community where the injured find healing, where the hungry find food, and where the good pasture can be shared by all. God and God alone is our Savior, our Judge, and our King. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you this day for who you are. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us. And we know, Lord, that in the midst of it all, sometimes we get ourselves all beside ourselves and all shook up and all upset, sometimes over absolutely nothing. And sometimes in the midst of that, we hurt people along the way. So, Lord, this day, we just ask that you allow us to give ourselves fully and totally to you and allow you, Lord, to be the judge of us and allow us, Lord, to be your children, those sheep who have gone astray. Hold us close now, for it's in your name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 381, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Would you stand as we sing?